Well, this is not about being soft on terrorism. Where terrorism is suspected, people can be arrested more easily, detained for longer, and prosecuted for behaviour that would not in other circumstances be a crime. Well, people will accept that so long as those powers are only being used where they're genuinely needed. And the problem is that our definition has begun to catch people that it was never really intended to catch.
And how has that happened? Has it happened because the legislation was inadequately drafted, or simply because the police and the prosecuting authorities are trying to stretch it as far as it will go and beyond?
I give credit to the prosecuting authorities and to the police and indeed to ministers, because I don't think they very often abuse or stretch the very wide discretions that they're given under the Act. I think the problem is more that people who should never be caught by these laws just get worried that they might be, and that could have the effect of restricting the way they go about their business.
Are there any obvious examples where you think the law designed to deal with terrorism has been used inappropriately?
Well, I think you could look at the example of journalists and bloggers, for example, who can be considered terrorists, it seems, if they're seeking to influence the government and if their words endanger life or create a serious risk to public health or safety. Now, foolish or dangerous journalism is one thing, terrorism is another, and I think the problem there is with the way the bar is set. It's enough that you're trying to influence the government for political reasons. In most other countries, you need to have to intimidate the government or coerce the government before you can be a terrorist.
One of the cases that's often cited in this regard is the case of David Miranda. Now, he was the partner of Glenn Greenwald, who was involved in the Snowden revelations on The Guardian. And Miranda was held for several hours because he was believed to be carrying material that might be prejudicial to national security, so it was said. Now, is that an example where you think, and he was detained under counter-terrorism provisions, is that a case in which it is appropriate to use anti-terror legislation or not, do you think?
The police thought that Mr. Miranda might have been carrying a large number of stolen secret documents through Heathrow Airport, and I would certainly accept that the police ought to have the power in those circumstances to stop somebody and detain them and see what's going on. What I think is more difficult to defend is the use of anti-terrorism laws for that purpose. One might be thinking of official secrets, one might be thinking of espionage, we might be thinking of theft, but it's a bit of a stretch to see somebody like that as a potential terrorist.
So if it's a problem, how do you deal with it?
There's a very simple fix. It was first recommended by my predecessor, Lord Carlisle, in 2007. It's to take out this word influence and require that terrorists must aim to intimidate or to coerce or to compel. I think if you do that, you get rid of a lot of these problems.
So that is a parliamentary manoeuvre that needs to be undertaken, in your view?
Yes.
The bill needs to be redrafted, amended.
Parliament needs to revisit this at some stage, not only for this reason. Another problem, I think, with the law is that it fails to distinguish in all respects between hate crime and terrorism. So you could take someone who intends no harm to anyone other than his immediate victim, say it's a man who pipe bombs his neighbour's wall, or a student who threatens a teacher on a fascist website or something like that. Well, they're unpleasant and serious crimes, but it's a bit of a stretch to see them as terrorism.
David Anderson, QC, thank you very much.